Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavit Ahway. 4 days and counting. That's when the referendum on Crimea is going to be held. Russia deems it to be legal, while the interim government and its Western backers say that it's not. The crisis in Ukraine is showing itself to be a battle of wills between the West and Russia. The EU has announced that it will sign the political part of the association agreement next week, while announcing that additional sanctions may be coming. Meanwhile, NATO and U.S. have been busy militarily on Ukraine's Crimea borders, while Russia has consolidated its military buildup in Crimea. Is a military confrontation inevitable between Russia and the West?
A standoff continues between Russia and the West over an upcoming referendum in the Black Sea Peninsula of Crimea. The Sunday's vote will decide whether Crimea remains part of Ukraine or join Russia. The group of seven major industrial countries, known as G7, has urged Russia to stop working on the referendum or face action. The group, comprising of the US, Britain, Canada, France, Italy, Germany and Japan, said Russia's efforts on Crimea's referendum are in violation of Ukraine's constitution as well as the international law. In a statement, the G7 group also said it considers Crimea's planned vote on its future as illegal and that it would not recognize its outcome. The European Union has also shared the same view with the G7 group.
We call on Russia to cease all preparations for the annexation of Crimea. It's simply unacceptable what's happening there. This so-called referendum is illegitimate, it is illegal, it is in contradiction with Ukraine's constitution, but also in contradiction with international law. This is the very firm position of the European Union that we share with our main partners, including the G7 members.
Western states have threatened Russia with sanctions over the Crimea standoff. But Moscow says what it does in the strategic peninsula is in accordance with the international law. Russia also says it will support Crimea if Sunday's referendum okays joining Russia. The Kremlin has previously said that it would retaliate in case of any punitive measures by the West. Western countries have accused Russia of invading Ukraine by deploying troops in Crimea. The interim government in Kiev has also called Russia's troops deployment a military intervention and demanded its Western backers help it against Moscow. Russia, however, denies that it has intervened in Ukraine, saying those troops in Crimea are local self-defense forces. Tensions began to mount in Crimea in mid-February after the region announced that it wants greater autonomy from Ukraine. This followed the toppling of former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych and the formation of a new interim government directly backed by the West. Lawmakers in Crimea have already voted in favor of joining Russia. Rallies have also been held on various occasions with supporters demanding integration into Russia in response to what they call the disorder and fascism in Ukraine. What Crimeans will decide on their future in the weekend's vote will definitely shape serious developments to follow both in the region and beyond.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. Former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst James Jatras joins us from Washington. And we have independent scholar Peter Sinnott who joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Peter Sinnott, the Crimea referendum, as of the recording of this program, 4 days and counting. Now, the predominantly ethnic Russian region is going to be holding this referendum approved by Moscow, obviously, on switching over to Kremlin rule. The question right now is about the legality. Both sides saying that it's legal, meaning Crimea, Russia on one side, and the West saying it's illegal. How do you see it?
Well, the problem is that in 1994, there was an agreement signed which had Russia, the Ukraine, and even some other countries agreed along as well in Budapest that the sovereign integrity of the borders had to be recognized. So the Ukraine's borders were recognized by Russia, and part of the deal, so to speak, was the denuclearization of Ukraine's Soviet missiles. So there is no doubt that there is a very strong legal precedent in the post-Soviet period for Crimea's as a part of Ukraine being recognized.
Well, if we want to talk about legality here, James Dutras, Peterson had talked about this, that 1994 deal. What about the February 21st deal? Whatever happened to that, of which there was an agreement of, I'm sure you're aware of it, the EU leaders present there, three of them, you have the Russian representative, and of course the interim government. And that went into the wind based on the events that happened after that.
Well, that's right. The Russians do have some legal arguments here. They may not be the best legal arguments in the world, but they are legal arguments nonetheless. All this talk about the Budapest Memorandum of 1994, as far as I can tell, this pertains to nuclear threats against Ukraine. It does obligate the parties to observe Ukraine's territorial integrity, as is obligatory on all states under the UN Charter and under the Helsinki Final Act in Europe. But if Russia's position is that there is no legal government in Ukraine, that the legal government was illegally overthrown, that the former or current president, take your pick, Mr. Yanukovych, has invited them to intervene in Ukraine, and that the state of law just does not exist in Ukraine, it's very hard for the Western powers with a straight face to accuse the Russians in a black and white case of violation of international norms. When you look at Kosovo, you look at Iraq, Libya, Syria, the U.S. invasion of Panama in 1989 using the canal zone and defense of U.S. citizens as a reason to do that, very much as the Russians are arguing regarding their basing in Crimea. There are arguments, but as long as the Western powers insist that the Russian presence in Crimea is the only problem and are not going back to the power-sharing basis from February 21st, we're still engaged in a dialogue of the deaf, it seems.
I do have to mention this, Peter Senate, and I know that this could be a little bit of old news, but it's a question of when the Secretary of State John Kerry, came out recently and talked about how hypocritical it is of Russia invading Crimea. And he's saying this is an act of aggression that is completely trumped up in terms of his pretext. And you just don't invade another country on phony pretext in order to assert your interests. I mean, that coming from the United States, of course, we can mention the examples that they have gone against this, Iraq being a prime one.
Well, one of the great differences is that Russia is still denying that it's really their troops. So you have these men in modern camouflage uniforms wearing masks and clearly having Russian arms and Russian trucks. But there is this pretense that this is actually popular defense units from within the country. So this is part of the falseness of the Russian claim. So no one really believes this. What we are really seeing is a tug between West and East, and Russia is very feels threatened by the idea of Ukraine becoming more involved with the West economically, but more importantly, philosophically, to basically treating Yanukovych as a puppet. And when Yanukovych's palaces and private zoos and car collections were uncovered, it was harder and harder for Russia to say, well, this is the legitimate ruler. His own party began to question his authority and the other parties that were supporting him. So Yanukovych lost his base in parliament and was really then, you saw what was a popular revolution and a political revolution. And I seriously doubt that this can be interpreted as anything but a very decided turn to the West by a significant part of Ukraine's population. Crimea, by playing upon the idea that this is a region which has a majority of population of Russians, is missing the main point of the argument. And the main point of the argument is the legal viability of simply taking a portion of a country away just because it has more of one ethnic group than another. And lost in the translation, so to speak, are the Crimean Tatars themselves. So, the Crimean Tatars are not a people that under Stalin were given the right to live there. They are expelled during the war. and they were not allowed to return. They returned illegally in the late 1980s and then still with great difficulty in the 1990s. So the idea of Crimea being a place that is tolerant of all peoples is something that has yet to be proven. And the idea of a vote on this succession only emphasizes that this is mainly a struggle for Russia that keeping Ukraine from going to the West.
Well, James Dutras, you know, we're looking at a country in a transition, obviously, to say the least. And when we look at the idea of sovereignty here, and also when we look at interference, why is it that the U.S. Keeps poking itself into the situation? When we look at, for example, well, John Kerry was over in Ukraine holding hands, I'm sorry, shaking hands with the interim prime minister there, and we see Nyack.